Thanks for coming today. So the title of my talk is Factors Associated with Effective Contraception Use to Prevent Pregnancy Among Young Urban Women. We actually designed this study to try to figure out why some young urban women consistently use contraception and why some young urban women do not use contraception. And the goal of this project really was to inform some interventions to try to push young women closer to consistently using contraception. I have no disclosures. So we know unintended pregnancy is prevalent. About one half of all pregnancies are unintended, and by unintended we mean they're mistimed, where the woman has stated that the pregnancy didn't come when she expected, or the pregnancy was unwanted, so the woman wasn't anticipating becoming pregnant. Over 3 million pregnancies in the U.S. are reported as unintended. And there are high rates of unintended pregnancies among certain subgroups. Urban women, women that are experiencing violence, which is where we were focusing, women with limited education, women in certain ethnic and racial groups, women living in poverty, and younger women are all at increased risk for unintended pregnancies. And unintended pregnancy is important. It has been linked to a variety of adverse health outcomes, delayed prenatal care, increased substance use and depression during pregnancy, reduced breastfeeding, higher infant mortality, increased child and maternal violence, and higher levels of maternal depression. And we do need some novel, informed interventions to try to decrease unintended pregnancy, because they can have long-term community effects as well as individual effects for women by reducing STDs, HIV, and teen pregnancy, by improving education and socioeconomic status, by expanding the national workforce. And really the key to preventing unintended pregnancy is to promote effective and consistent contraception use. And we know the Affordable Care Act of 2012 provides free contraception to sexually active women, but there's other barriers to consistently using contraception besides just financial. And that's really was the goal of this project, was to identify some of these other barriers to consistent contraception among young, sexually active urban women. So the project was funded by NIH, designed to examine individual factors, social factors, and institutional level factors, and how they both, all three of them, can relate to informing interventions to promote consistent contraception use to decrease unintended pregnancy. Again, we wanted to design a study to look at why some young urban women do and why some young urban women do not consistently use contraception, to inform a cost-effective intervention to increase consistent contraception use. And I just want to put this slide in here because I'm a visual person, so this sort of helps orient people. So we were looking at how violence in a variety of different dimensions, so interpersonal violence, history of childhood, and adult sexual violence, reproductive coercion, and a woman's perception of violence in her community, how these factors of violence may relate to the outcome of unintended pregnancy or inconsistent contraception use. And then we're looking at some of these resiliency factors, some individual level factors that also may inform interventions and maybe can moderate that relationship between violence and inconsistent contraception use. And some of the resiliency factors we were looking at were depressive symptoms, self-esteem, emotion regulation, sexual self-efficacy, and social provision, which is a measurement of social support in your social networks. So we measured these individual resiliency factors and put them in context with some of these violence experiences on the individual level as well as in the community. This project enrolled 351 women from in 2013. We followed women through 6 months to look at contraception use during the longitudinal period. I'm just going to be talking about sort of our baseline information from our enrollment questionnaires. So the eligibility criteria for these women, we entitled the study the Young Women's Health Study. We enrolled women that were non-pregnant but sexually active with a man, age 18 to 30. They needed to live in North Philadelphia zip code, so North Philadelphia is an area in Philadelphia that has high levels of unintended pregnancy, has high levels of STDs. And the women never had a hysterectomy or a tubal ligation, so they were at risk for pregnancy, sexually active with a man at risk for pregnancy. And when the women came to these clinics, women were coming in for family planning clinics, so they were interested in getting information on family planning. So women came into the clinics and research coordinators screened all the women for their study eligibility criteria, described the purpose of the study, screened for eligibility. The wait time in this clinic was fairly long, so eligible women that agreed to participate could then complete this questionnaire on this tablet before their visit with the clinician. And we used audio computer-assisted survey instruments, so some of these questions were fairly sensitive. We were asking about sexual violence, we were asking about levels of depression, levels of self-esteem, so instead of having an interviewer read the question to the woman, she put the headset on, could read the question, could have the questions read to her, and answered the questions on these tablets. And the information, again, collected information on demographic factors, on substance use, current and past violence, resiliency factors that I mentioned, and then we asked her about her contraception use. I pulled from the questionnaire, we asked her about all different types of contraception that she'd use with her male partner. Some of them are effective, some of them are not effective. So we asked her to answer this question, check all that applied. And we asked her also the consistency of the contraception method. So would you say use that birth control method with your male sexual partner every time, most of the time, half the time, or some of the time, or none of the time? So for each birth control, for the birth control methods, we asked her about the consistency of those methods. We also now followed women up for 6 months. We were looking at how some of these violence factors and resiliency factors predicted consistent contraception use during a six-month follow-up period. What we found at baseline, actually, is that over half of the women were reporting inconsistent contraception. So they may have been reporting some types of contraception, but not consistently using the contraception, or some of the types of contraception they were using are not effective. So the 55% included women that reported inconsistent use of long-acting or negotiated contraception, like condoms, or the use of withdrawal, some other method, and not using anything to prevent pregnancy. So over half of these sexually active women actually come into a family planning clinic were not consistently using contraception. We had 44% that were in this consistent contraception group, so 18% of those were using long-acting contraceptions like Depo-Provera, IUD, a patch. 26% of the women in this consistent contraception group were saying that they were actually consistently using negotiated contraception, so some type of contraception they had to talk to their sexual partner about. Condoms, birth control pills, morning after pills, something that was very obvious that they were using contraception. So just for some of the information that we found, so these slides are comparing the inconsistent contraception users to the consistent contraception users on the right. We saw that the group was young, over 80% were African American, about 15% on average for the total population was Hispanic origin. There aren't much differences between the two groups in terms of these demographic factors. I tried to highlight, it might be hard to see, but the top line is highlighted showing that the consistent contraception users were a little bit older than the inconsistent contraception users. We also looked at some characteristics of homelessness. So 20% of the women in the inconsistent contraception group were homeless, 18% in the consistent contraception group were homeless. So high percentage of homelessness in both groups, not different between the two groups. What we did find, though, is that although both groups reported having access to a health care provider in the past year on a similar proportion, the lowest line here showed that although access seemed to be similar between the two groups, the women that were reporting inconsistent contraception use were less likely to receive a prescription for a contraception from their provider. So some of the results we've taken away from this is that we do need to improve communications between providers and women in terms of talking to women about the types of contraception that they can actually use consistently. We looked at substance use, and this is substance use in the past year self-report. Inconsistent contraception users were 19% of them reported problem drinking in the past year. The smoking and marijuana were fairly similar between the two groups, so we did find substance use differences between the two groups of contraception users. Then we asked the women about violence. So again, we asked women about their perception of community violence, their childhood physical and sexual violence, adult physical and sexual violence, and current violence. From this slide, the significant difference was a childhood sexual violence. So we found that women reporting inconsistent contraception use, 19% of them reported at least one episode of childhood sexual violence in their life, compared to 9.6% among women reporting consistent contraception. And that relationship between childhood sexual violence actually remained when we adjusted for a whole bunch of other factors. So although the violence rate was high in the two groups of these young urban women, the childhood sexual abuse was really an independent predictor of inconsistent contraception use in this population. We also looked at reproductive coercion, which Elizabeth Miller has looked at a lot from the University of Pittsburgh, and it's sort of this coercion of reproduction. So some of the dimensions of reproductive coercion are reproductive sabotage, where women are asked if they're forced by their sexual partner to have sex without a condom, if their sexual partner takes off a condom, if their sexual partner breaks a condom, or if they're kept from the clinic. So we asked women these questions, and you can see that there's not much difference between the two groups. We actually didn't find any significant differences, although there is a suggestion that women that are reporting inconsistent contraception use have higher levels of reproductive sabotage. In particular, a higher proportion of women reporting inconsistent contraception use said that their sexual partner was taking condoms off during sex. Then we looked at some of these resiliency factors because we wanted to see if there were individual factors that may be helpful for women to have that we can maybe design interventions to promote consistent contraception use. This table, again, is comparing inconsistent contraception users to consistent contraception users on the right. The resiliency factors were self-esteem, measures of emotion regulation, measures of depressive symptoms using the CESD, sexual self-efficacy, and social provision, which is social support. So from this slide, the highlighted differences were depressive symptoms. So what maintains significant is that women that are reporting inconsistent contraception use have higher rates of depressive symptoms. And this isn't depression. It's high levels of depressive symptoms. So if you can see from this slide that 50% of women that reported inconsistent contraception use reported depressive symptoms when they came into the clinic. Some of the other resiliency factors weren't significant between the two groups. So to summarize, what we did find is that some factors did continue to be related to inconsistent contraception use that we really need to focus interventions in particular subsets of women. So inconsistent contraception users reported more childhood sexual violence. They also reported more current violence on the violence slide. 3% of the women reporting inconsistent contraception use said they were in a currently violent relationship. Nobody in the consistent contraception use reported current violence. Also, women that reported inconsistent contraception use had higher levels of depressive symptoms, and this is really independent of the violence that they're experiencing. They're also most likely to report depressive symptoms. And then also there's some differences in conversations with providers. So women reporting inconsistent contraception use were less likely to get a prescription for contraception from their provider. So again, what we need to focus on is this high levels of depressive symptoms, these low rates of contraception prescription, and this high prevalence of childhood sexual violence among women reporting inconsistent contraception. And we actually have tried to use this information to now develop and propose some interventions to promote consistent contraception among this high-risk group of young urban women. So we've developed some novel interventions where we're using peer support folks to provide depressive symptoms reduction interventions to women that are reporting sexual activity, not wanting to get pregnant, but inconsistent contraception. We also need to get into the healthcare system and really advocate for providers to talk to women about what's going on in their lives in terms of the violence that they have experienced or the violence that they are experiencing, and their relationship with their sexual partner in terms of any reproductive coercion that's going on when we discuss contraception to young urban women. And really to recognize the role of childhood sexual violence in really all aspects of women's adult health, including their risk for unintended pregnancy. So any questions?
we do have time for one question.
That's so interesting, because that actually kind of is the intervention that is out there in terms of, you know, reducing unintended pregnancy. It doesn't help reduce STDs, HIV. And actually, in our cohort of women, there's not many women that are reporting LARCs, and it hasn't changed over time as far as we could see in a six-month interval. I mean, the women that we see in our family planning clinics really are using condoms. They're reporting condom use. So our sort of thought is that I think the promoting LARCs is important, but I also think recognizing that there's some women that maybe won't feel comfortable with LARCs, won't have access to LARCs, won't have, you know, won't have the ability to keep up the you know, the consistency of you know, maintaining their appointments every couple of years, but to prevent, you know, STDs, and also to meet women where they are in terms of the type of contraception that they feel most comfortable using. We still need to develop interventions to promote consistent condom use to reduce unintended pregnancy.
So we can take more questions at the end, since we're trying to stay a little bit on time. So thank you very much, Deborah. Thank you.